Today's episode is brought to you by Positively Productive Systems, whose mission is to be the antidote to your stress and to provide compassionate productivity resources and coaching that help you heal and achieve. Be sure to check out both free and paid resources at positivelyproductive.com/resources. When you consider it's a response, you can see that stress, in and of itself, is neither good nor bad per se. But our response to stressors matters when it comes to determining our thresholds and what serves us or doesn't. These differences are labeled as good stress, known as eustress, and bad, known as distress. We just tend to call it all stress, but it's important to make this distinction. You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a productivity coach certified in positive psychology and stress management. Join me as we explore ways to live a more proactive, positive life with episodes on productivity, self-awareness, mindset, entrepreneur life, habits and systems, simplicity, fun, and more. I understand overwhelm personally as a multi-passionate entrepreneur, wife and mom to kids and cats, and as a caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa, and I must admit that I was a little stressed pulling together this episode for you today. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. And in my own meta fashion, today we'll talk about why. Like many other aspects of productivity, stress tends to be misunderstood, which is why I bring it up repeatedly on the podcast. I became certified in stress management in March of 2020, and no, the irony wasn't lost on me. Talk about universal timing. I am so grateful it was on my radar back then, and that I put in the work to learn more. I knew stress impacted our productivity, and I wanted to know why. This understanding is a key part of my coaching and speaking. I want to help you understand stress for what it really is. And though stress is a common thread running through our conversations here, with April being National Stress Awareness Month, I thought it was the perfect timing to feature it again. The first episode where I introduced the topic of stress was Episode 7, The Impact of Stress and How to Manage It for Good. I talked about what stress is, the main types of stress, eustress and distress, and stressors, and shared some of my experiences with stress. I also offered a list of health issues linked to chronic distress and some advice from the Mayo Clinic on how to manage that. And in an episode in the fall of 2023, I added more to that initial episode, clarifying a few things and talking about an important feature of stress we often overlook, which is our topic for today. To be sure that you have a full selection, if you want to dive deep into this topic, I have created a new stress management episodes playlist, which you can find on the podcast page of the Positively Productive website, positivelyproductive.com/podcast. Before we dig into how some stress is actually necessary, let's quickly review what it is. Described as a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances, stress essentially challenges our ability to adapt. When a stressor is placed upon us, whether from outside or inside, we react and we try to stabilize. The technical term is homeostasis, homeo meaning same and stasis meaning stable. We're trying to get back to that same point we were. And whether you experience change in your life like a shift in temperature or an argument with someone, your body and mind will respond to it. When you consider it's a response, you can see that stress, in and of itself, is neither good nor bad per se. But our response to stressors matters when it comes to determining our thresholds and what serves us or doesn't. These differences are labeled as good stress, known as eustress, and bad, known as distress. We just tend to call it all stress, but it's important to make this distinction. Keeping in mind that everyone has a different tolerance for stress response, let's look at how it can actually be useful. In a world focused on reducing stress, and rightly so because chronic distress is at an all-time high, it might seem strange to consider that stress could be helpful. But I'll bet you have many examples of how it is. One such example that we all have is deadlines. That's what helped me create this episode. Deadlines are a great example and something often used, even required, by some to get things done. Why do they work? Because stress increases our performance short term by releasing adrenaline, which gives us an energy boost, basically lights a fire under us. The very stress response of fight or flight makes us more focused. And that makes sense. Imagine when you're in danger. You narrow your field of vision. Your muscles clench and tighten to prepare for either the fighting or the fleeing. And you tune out other things that aren't necessary in the moment, including normal physiological responses. This is why when you're stressed out, you may lose your appetite or not realize that you're hungry. Okay, so you with me so far? Now let's take this concept of being uber-focused for danger and losing your appetite and other things like that, and flip it around to the idea of being in the zone and forgetting to eat. I'm a foodie, and I don't completely understand this concept. I hear it happens to people. As a general rule, I say this, but even I've lost track of time, such that a major stomach rumbling could barely snap me out of the focus that I was in. You might recognize this in-the-zone focus as flow state. It's a time when you are your most productive. So the key here is finding the sweet spot of that focus that allows you to be in flow, neither too stressed nor not stressed enough. You have to have some stress in order to get into that flow state. If you take away all the stress, you might be looking at couch potato time. And while there's nothing wrong with hanging out on the couch, I am a professional when it comes to that, it won't help you achieve your goals. Yet, as you probably well know, if you're too stressed, stressed out, as we like to call it, you're going to take yourself beyond the productive zone and into a potentially unhealthy place where you shift into a state of anxiety that keeps you from taking action and can actually lead to burnout. The technical term for the sweet spot we're looking for is optimal arousal. And before you decide, I need to add an explicit warning to this podcast and rename it Positively Living After Dark. Allow me to explain. According to what is known as the Yerkes-Dodson Law, performance increases with arousal, that is, stress, but only up to a point. When the level of stress becomes too high, performance decreases. And if you look at it visually, it's a bell curve. Arousal levels that affect motivation can be mental, that is cognitive, emotional, or physical, sometimes referred to as three parts of arousal theory. And all three are important, but individuals may require more or less of each type to feel motivated depending upon the situation. This probably sounds familiar to you. Mental arousal is a state of mental alertness, and I talked about that with the fight or flight idea, right? It can be your focus, it can be the desire to explore and learn new things. Emotional arousal is a state of feeling a strong emotional charge towards something. So that's your passion, your excitement, fear, joy, sadness, something emotional that drives you. And physical arousal is the state of the heightened physiological activity in your body, making you feel ready to engage. And that's the classic fight or flight, where your pupils dilate and your vision narrows and your heartbeat increases. And I can even feel that happening right now because I'm excited about this topic. Now, there are so many factors that can affect those different levels of arousal. Think about your workload, your environment, like the lighting, temperature, noises, distractions, how complex your task is. You don't need as much arousal in order to engage in a simpler task. The familiarity and the skill level with the task. So if it's something that you've done before, even if it is more complicated, again, you're not going to need as much arousal. Then there's the degree of risk involved. Also, The quality and quantity of your sleep. There's no focus to be had when we are sleep deprived, and we know this already. There's also the perceived stress of the situation. If you feel like it's a very stressful situation, and that could also be your perceived degree of risk, you are going to react differently and need a different level of stress or arousal. Then there's your general health, your mental health, your current mood. All of these things can affect the level of arousal or stress that you need. And one other fun fact, personality traits like introversion and extroversion. You as an extrovert will be seeking a higher level of stress / arousal than an introvert might. Now, that can be changed or undone by other factors, and I'll give you a couple more examples. My youngest child and my husband are two great examples of how this works differently. My youngest is prone to anxiety and cannot handle deadlines in the same way that my husband does. As a matter of fact, my husband thrives on the stress of deadlines to help him through. Now, interestingly, they're both introverts. However, they also both have ADHD. However, one is older and has a different perception of stress. The other is younger and tends toward anxiety, so it makes sense that deadlines would work differently for both of them. Once again, and I've talked about this so many times in the podcast, it all comes down to self-awareness. It all comes down to, it's not just optimum levels, it's your optimum level. What stressors light a fire under you just enough to get you to move, but not to feel like that meme with the dog where he's surrounded by flames and totally checked out and keeps repeating the line, "This is fine, I'm fine, everything's fine." What's in between? You will know you're in the optimal range when your mental capacity, attentiveness, processing speed, your ability to learn and make decisions feel like they're really at their best. You'll know when you feel like you're in the zone and ready to make it happen. That's where you want to be. We'll be talking more about productivity and flow states, how to get in and out in future episodes. And I'm curious what you thought about this topic. And is there anything else you'd like to know about this topic or others? I'd love to hear from you. Message me through social media or on my website and let me know. Thank you for joining me today. Your time is precious and limited, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you have feedback, questions, or want to schedule a chat, head to positivelyproductive.com/connect. And if you are looking for any of the resources referenced on the podcast, from books to products to training and more, go to positivelyproductive.com/resources.